Title of the message, Spotlight, Fog Light, or Floodlight. Sometimes you kind of feel like you're in a, like a deer caught in the headlights. That's kind of like the way I feel today. I kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting how you come to church each Sunday and there's a different sense of how people mill around, and you know, it's always different, it seems. It's always uniquely different, and it's always interesting. Today it seems like, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel a little more scattered than normal, and I hope I get through it. With God's help, I will. So we're going to read Mark 4, 21 through 25. And he said to them, "Do you bring a light to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. A male and a female driver were involved in a horrific collision. Amazingly, both escaped unhurt, though their cars were written off as a total. As they crawled out from the wreckage, the man sees the woman is blonde and beautiful. She turns to him and gushishly breathingly, "We shouldn't have survived that. Maybe it's a sign from God that we were meant to be together." Sensing he could be onto something good, the man stammers back and says, "Oh yes, I agree completely. And look," she continues, "though my car was totally destroyed, this bottle of wine made it intact. It's another sign. Let's drink to our love." "Well, okay," says the man, going with the moment. She offers him the bottle, and so he downs half of it and hands it back to her and says, "Your turn," he says. "No thanks," says the woman. "I think I'll just wait for the police." Who saw the light and who didn't see the light? Who's going to be in the spotlight and who's not? Would you say it's a conniving woman or a man that wasn't too smart? A little bit of both, I guess. I don't know. When I first started going to Newfoundland, I never realized how dark it could be. There is very little light or ambient light when you travel across Newfoundland. Most of us who live down here in the 48 or in parts that are civilized or whatnot, there's always light around. You have security light, you have ambient light from the city. You would be surprised how much that lights up the sky and how much that gives you light to see even at night. I remember when I pulled into a parking area and I parked behind a truck about 6 or 7 feet, 8 feet, so, and I turned off my lights and I could not even see the truck in front of me. That's how dark it was. It was almost like the darkness had a substance to it. It seemed to suck the lights right out of my truck. There just wasn't enough of light coming from the truck. It was like driving with a candle in the window. After that experience, I came home and I put some 100-watt driving lights in the front of my truck. And then I began to see. I since then have added some more. I now have 200-watt fog lights, two big bonnet driving lights, 100 watts, and the four original lights that it comes from. I can blind you. I can see in the darkness. But all that works really well until it snows. And then you got to go down to the original low beams because you got too much light. Because all you see is the snowflakes. It serves a purpose. But sometimes you overdo it. There are many kinds of lights and many kinds of applications of lights. You look around, you can see many lights. I drove through Tulsa this last week, and I was amazed that downtown on the freeway didn't have hardly no lights. It was dark. Very unusual. They had some street lights down in the streets, but the highway was not lit up. I said, that's strange. Most times it's always lit up. People use lights differently. The latest kind of lights that we have that you see on vehicles are LEDs. They're brighter. Don't like them. Well, they have their ups and downs, that's for sure. If you use them in a headlight, the snow, they don't get hot enough to melt the snow. They have to put heaters in them. So there's always a problem. They're bright, they use less energy. These are the latest that you're going to use in your house, LEDs. They are diodes that light up. Light is used for a lot of different things. One of the things that fascinates me is the use of it in fiber optics. We use it in phone systems and communication. What fascinates me is how we can take data, my voice, or a fax, or whatever you want to send, you can convert it to a light beam and send it through a little glass tube. In a matter of seconds, it's where it needs to be. It's one of our fastest ways of transferring communications these days. And what amazes me even more, how many different light beams can go back and forth both ways at the same time. The use of light to communicate. We use laser beams, the use of light. We're just barely understanding what light is. Without sunlight, we wouldn't have life. It wouldn't be possible to have life if we didn't have sunlight. We have to have light. I went and started looking at the use of light in the Bible. And then, what is this light that the Bible talks about? Most of us know that we talk about Jesus as the light of the world. We've heard this. I was a little bit in the dark as understanding what light is. Genesis 1 says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light. And he called the light day and the darkness night. And that was the first day. What I wonder is, what is the light that God saw? He says, God saw the light, and it was good. What is light? Is it something that generates out from God, from the presence of the eternal infinite? I think the Bible, John tries to explain it. I'll get to that in a little bit. The lighting of a candle is a Christian symbol that represents the light of God. We have two lit candles here. The flame represents the light of God. If you light a candle, say as a memorial to somebody, your intention is to say a prayer for another. And the prayer is to be lifted up. So what is important about the candle that's lit, the two candles that are lit? The holders and the fuel, and the candle is part of the fuel that holds the flame. But it's not the flame. It merely holds the flame. It's merely fuel added to the flame. We have, I think there's little gas in there or something, and it's in that little tube. But if you had a wax candle, the wax would become the fuel. The wick and the flame exist on top of the candle. It merely holds the flame. Are we the holder of the light? Is our bodies the holder of the light and the fuel to the flame that lives within us? It merely holds and contains it. But yet, our spirit is seemed to be light. We seem to talk about light beings as spiritual beings. We're light. Light is used in most religions and most cultures to be a symbol of God or godliness. The Bible is no exception. God is described as covering himself, or I wrote herself or itself because it's not a good name for the infinity, with a garment of light in Psalms. Most beings are, if you talk about heavenly beings, celestial beings, usually are portrayed as light. Light surrounds them. Light is in their presence. It says in Psalms also, 4:6, his countenance. I had to look up that word to make sure I knew what a countenance was. It says it was about a person's facial expressions. It says, in Psalms it says, it is light. The facial expression, the God's face or the being in which is shown in the Bible is light. Light is as a metaphor. We are to walk in the light. Now most of us every day, we walk in the light of the sun, S-U-N. But we are to walk in the light of the S-O-N, the sun. What does that mean? We are to know or to experience the light. We were talking a little bit out here in Sunday school about knowing the difference between eyesight and people that are blind that can't see objects. I think walking in the light is about closing your eyes and walking in a non-physical way. The light that God is talking about is not seen necessarily with our physical eyes. God is to lead us out of the darkness into the light. That is a general theme within the Bible, within the New Testament. Paul talks about it. Jesus talks about it. That the physical reality in which we live is like darkness in comparison to what spiritual understanding or spiritual life or the light, the true light, is like. So even though we know and we are conscious about our physical reality around us, in spiritual realities, it's considered to be darkness. We talk about when we experience something as knowing, I seen the light moment. I become aware. I think that's what the spiritual reality of seeing the light is. It's becoming aware. We talked a little bit about it at Sunday school, being aware of your non-physical reality around you. I suggested one of the ways in which you can do that is to kind of slow down and kind of let the world go around you a little bit slower than what you are. I compared it to driving down the road, and you slow down and allow traffic to move around you slowly. I said, a sense of what you want to do spiritually. You just kind of slow yourself down for the moment. And you'd be amazed at what you'll see and what will become aware in a much greater way. The sight in which you have in the light. Jesus is said to be the light of the world. And I had to do a little more looking and to see what John had to say about that, the Gospel of John. But one of the questions that Job was asked by God was, do you know where the place of the light? Do you know the place of the darkness? Job, in all his questions, wanted to know many things, but yet We don't know where the presence of the spiritual light comes from, or darkness. Psalms talks about it in 105, verse 105. This light is to guide our feet and to be a light to our path. What is it? John, the first chapter of John, says about what the light is to some extent. I think we should capitalize the word light. It is a presence. It is a almost like a being type thing. I don't know how you can describe it. But Jewish thought was that the light was wisdom. So when they read Genesis or in John, if they do read John, they think that God is talking about wisdom and knowledge. So the world and the universe was created out of this light, which was wisdom and knowledge, and it expanded. I often, as I read Genesis there that this morning and this week, when it said about, and there was light, and God said, let there be light. Scientists talk about the Big Bang, that the universe started with the Big Bang. Whether you believe in the six-day creation or you believe what science says, that it was a Big Bang and it started from that, that's up to you. But I can see where one could read into that Genesis, the Big Bang, very easily. Kaboom. And there was light. And from there it expanded. The universe is far as science can look back through time and see back almost to the bang. Or to the bang. I'm not quite sure how far they can see back. But they can't seem to see past that point. I don't have an answer for that, or even a suggestion. But even though the Bible has science in it, it is not a science book. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. John says that the light, or the world, the word was with God in the beginning. And through all things, this world, this word made everything. And the light shines, he said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So it goes from the word to the light, and then down into humanity. So light becomes an action or a force or a presence or a spirit that moves out from God. We tend to think that Jesus is the light of the world, but I believe that Jesus carried the light, but was not the light. Now, don't misunderstand me. He carried the light to the world. He was the bearer of the light and brought it here. Was he the summation of all the light? No, I think he carried the light. And John, if you read John very carefully, the first chapter of John, you will see that. It says about, talks about John the Baptist, and then it talks about Jesus a little bit. It doesn't say Jesus' name, but he says the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And most people think that was Jesus who came and dwelt amongst us, and Jesus was the summation of the light or the word. But I believe that Jesus carried the word and carried the light, but was not the total summation of the light. Now, I have to watch myself, because in some circles that would be heresy. But you have to read it, and I think the infinite has many, many parts. It's one capital I's, but there's many ones in it. And that's an idea that that the church has yet to understand, I think. Some places one is capitalized and sometimes it's not. The question I'm going to ask is, in all the different denominations that we have within the church and the different religions and what have you, they each want to say they have the light. And they want you to come into your light, into their light. And the question I'm going to ask is that what Mark is talking about, or what Jesus is talking about in Mark? Is that what this parable is talking about? When somebody is putting a covering over top of the light to some extent? Don't we do that in a lot of different ways within our thought systems? We say, think this way and only this way. If that way is no good, isn't that a way of putting a bowl over top of your light? Come in under my bowl and live with me. Isn't that essentially what the idea is saying? And the people in different denominations? And I think so. I think if you have something good to say, something important to say, something that's good to say, Jesus is saying, let it shine. And the way that I think that you let things shine in that way, you have to think of equality and equitable ways that is beneficial to all. You can't let a light shine when you're an exclusive thinker. You're putting a bowl over yourself. That's what I think. Never mind. I was going to say something dumb, but I'm not. The Amish and some of the people that I knew that used to put a bowl over top of their head and cut the hair around the bowl. I'm sorry. That was a thought I had. I can't help myself. And I think in some respects, that's an example of people putting the bowl over the top of them in the way they think. And I'm sorry, I think that's exclusive thought is what that's about. We are in everywhere you think, from politics to what have you. Everybody wants to have a bowl and crawl underneath it. Why not have a bigger bowl? Question I asked, and no one seems to get an answer. What is the melting pot that we are having in the United States? What does that look like? I mean, are we going to have a bunch of little bowls that won't talk to nobody? Or what does the melting pot of the United States look like? We're not, we're not French, we're not German, we're everything. So what does that look like? Again, I think, like what?
A stew.
A stew. But you got to have a juice to hold it together. Does the United States have a stew? I mean, have a juice that holds it? Where is the light that holds it together?
Respect.
Do we respect one another?
No. That's
yeah.
Or one of them.
So that is part of the juice in which we have to develop in our stew. I think we should be an example to the world. But right now, I don't think we're doing very good. I don't know if we ever did, really. I'm not really sure. I'm not a historian. There might have been times when it rose and fell. Bob may have a comment on that. But I don't know if we... I think at this time, where we're at now is probably where equality of different races and different beliefs are really coming boiling up. Before, it was generally white European. Until now... We start getting equality of the races, and each one is rising up. Each one wants equal time, equal right, equality. What is that going to look like? That's the question. I said to Colleen coming in, I stopped at a truck stop in Lamar, and I look around and I see many, many nationalities, people walking in and out, many, many different nationalities, many different faiths, Jewish people, Hindus, Islamic people. I mean, it's a different world. We have to learn to get along. We have to have that juice to hold us together. Revelation talks about a time which is going to happen sometime in which there is not going to be no sun. This place in which Revelation is talking about, 22:5, is talking about a place that has no sun as UN, but has the S-O-N that carries the light. There won't be a day and there won't be a night. So there won't be this is supposed to be a heavenly place. This is what these parables about the next couple Sundays is supposed to be about, the kingdom of heaven. What is that going to look like? What is that like? And I have beginning to, in the last year or so, I believe that it is going back to Genesis. It's going back to the tree of light and life that has been blocked off. I'm beginning to think biblically that heaven exists in another universe. It doesn't exist here in this universe. Our light beings have to be transferred over to this another universe. Our body's going to stay here. Our spirit, our soul, our consciousness is going to be transferred to light. And zoom, when we pass from this life to the next, we go to another place. I think paradise lived, according to Genesis, that was cut off. And it says, unless we would eat from that tree of life and live eternally in this state, which we are now, which I don't know if I want to live in this state here eternally. I'm sorry. I love this earth. I love people. But to live here eternally forever and ever, sorry. There was a movie about that, I don't know what it is. Colleen may know what it was about, where these people stayed the same age all the time in this little spot, and they never aged and never got old, and they got really tired of it really quick. And it was kind of an interesting movie. We don't understand the idea of a light, ever-present, changing, but never having a duality. That's a concept our two minds cannot understand. At least I can't. I cannot grasp a place that doesn't age or move or is not static or something different than this. To have a tree of light and life in which light is ever present all the time, in which things are changing, growing, flexing, but there is no evil, there is no duality, that to me is where we are going to go. And as big as this universe is, I think there's another one and others that are greater. Read Genesis, and I think that's what Revelation is talking about, a different place. Most theology talks about this universe and this earth being changed into that type of universe. My narrow mind and my understanding is how are you going to turn matter into eternal? I don't see how that's going to happen when Genesis is talking about another place altogether different. So that is the light in which we are striving to get to. I don't think we'll ever get to that in this place. So what kind of light are you? Are you a driving light? A fog light? A street light? A flashlight? A marker light? A signal light?
Night light.
A night light. You only come out in the darkness, right? That's a good one. Night light. Turn signal light, a backup light, a reverse light. Come on, you can think of some more. What kind of light are we? A light that shines. I think that's what Jesus is talking about. We're supposed to shine with the love of Christ that emanates out from our body, that is greater than our physicalness and beyond the limits of our physicality. Whatever type of light you are, just let it shine.
For family.
Love us way too much. Give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you. And long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Darkness seems to win. We know the pain it minds this heart, that this is not our home. This is not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in
service may shine as bright as a beacon. Amen.